Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. We're back with another episode, another mysterious tale to tell you. My name is Will, and this week is my week, and here we have my little co-host this week.
Oh, hi. I'm Annie. I'm just filling in for Bernadette. She's on her holidays this week, so I hope that I can do the show justice. I'll be bringing my funny quips and my insightful insights.
New people are going to be like, oh, there's three people host this. Thanks for joining us here today, Annie. I know you hate doing this, but you have to do it, so you make it on with it.
I had to take a few minutes out from my multi-million dollar award-winning business, actually, on OnlyFans to do this today. But that's okay, because I'll be back on there tomorrow. All my fans can catch me there.
You can put the link on this episode show notes, maybe get you a few new subscribers as well.
Well, thank you, because I didn't see any invoices for money coming in, so you're going to have to repay me in some kind.
Oh, sure, listen, all we can do is say a prayer and hope. But we need to say thank you to our new Patreon subscribers. We have two new Patreon subscribers this week. Thank you so much. And the first one is Katie Mullen. Oh, thanks, Katie.
Oh, thank you so much, Katie. And I would like to say a big thank you to Lisa McFlyme. What, amazing. Thank you so much. Two girls on board this week. We're so, so happy to have you here. Thanks so much, lads.
Thanks, Lisa. And if you'd like to join us to Patreon, you can do so. The link is in the show notes and you will get a bonus episode every week, which we like to call Motu Weird Wednesdays, where we give you another paranormal tale and also the After Hours live line, which is very interesting. You get a very good mixture of stuff on the live line there now, but we'll talk about that later. So, I came across, Annie, a very weird story today that kind of terrifies the life out of me. So I know it's going to terrify the life out of you.
Oh, God.
Let's get into today's main story. During the months of September and October 1903, a number of inhabitants of one Iowan city reported that they had been stalked by a mysterious nocturnal entity. Nearly 120 years later, it still remains a mystery. The small city of Van Meter lies in the state of Iowa. Van Meter was founded on December 29, 1877. The city had gained its name from Jacob Rhodes Van Meter and his family, Dutch settlers who had made their way from Meteren in the Netherlands. The population of Van Meter has remained quite small even to this day. A 1900 census showed a mere 407 inhabitants. Today the population has grown by just 1,000. One cold September night in 1903, U.G. Griffith, a respected salesman from Van Meter, was making his way home after a difficult day trying to provide for his family. As he made his way down Main Street, he noted that the street was empty. Confused for a moment, he glanced at his pocket watch, which read 1 a.m. He quickened his pace. conscious that his wife may be worried for his safety. As he reached the midway point of Main Street, his attention was caught by a broad beam of light which was shining down from atop of the Maher and Greggs building. Believing that this light was emitting from a lantern, Griffith walked into the middle of the street to try gain a better view, hoping to see who its owner was. When he couldn't make out the shadowy figure atop of the building, Griffith came to the assumption that the figure was that of no honourable man, deciding, after all, that no one would have had any business being on top of a roof shining their lantern at 1 a.m. "Who's there? Identify yourself!" Almost immediately, this mysterious light lifted into the night air and slowly settled on top of a building further up the street, and once again shone a beam to the street below. Griffith called out once more, "What trickery is this? Show yourself this night." Cautiously, Griffith made his way further up the street towards the light. He couldn't quite make out what was afoot. He knew of no man or animal that could leap buildings. Closing in on the light for a second time, he called out once more, "Come down from there. Identify yourself." The light rose up once more. This time it travelled directly over Griffith's head and once again settled on a building on the opposite side. Griffith stood silent, just watching. In fact, everything was silent, eerily silent. Suddenly, the light lifted from the building, but this time continued up into the night sky. Griffith watched as it slowly moved further and further upwards, shrinking against the ink-black sky. Eventually, its light had blended into the cosmos and could not be seen anymore. Griffith was left bewildered on the desolate Main Street. Being a respected businessman in the city, Griffith's word was listened to. When he began to relay his bizarre story to the residents the next morning, they took him seriously. Most building owners inspected their roofs to see if any trace of intruders could be found. Word spread of Griffith's story through the close-knit city. That evening, as business owners closed their stores, they anxiously double-checked locks and windows before heading home. Later that night, a local physician by the name of Dr. Alcott was having difficulty falling asleep in the back office of his practice when he was alerted to a bright light shining in through one of the practice's windows. Alcott was convinced that this must have been the same prowler that Griffith had witnessed the previous evening. He quickly drew a pistol from under his desk and quietly made his way downstairs and out into the street. What he was met with was no ordinary prowler. Before him was a literal monster. Alcott watched as a creature, humanoid in shape, clung to his office window, peering inside. It looked to have a huge wingspan with long talons that were fixed to each end. Its head had a long beak, that of which was not of any bird known to have existed at the time. On top of its forehead was a horn that projected a bright light. Unaware that Alcott had left the office, the creature used its light to illuminate the inside of the room, turning its head slightly from left to right, looking like it was searching for something. Dr. Alcott's blood ran as cold as the night air. Managing to break his body from a frozen state, he grew the courage to fire his pistol. Suddenly, the creature turned and looked at him, the light from its horn blinding Alcott in the process. He fired his pistol four more times. The creature let out an unearthly, piercing shriek and flew into the night sky. The following morning, the police found the empty shell casings at the foot of the office window, as well as some light damage to the brickwork and frame of the doctor's office window. There was now two well-respected figures who had witnessed this nocturnal creature. Alcott's story circulated like wildfire. Fear had been planted into the minds of every citizen in Van Meter. That evening, a man by the name of Clarence Dunn sat with his shotgun inside the city bank. Dunn was a local bank teller who had decided to sleep for the night inside the bank, as he believed this entity or creature was nothing more than a thief who was getting caught in the act. After some time, Dunn fell asleep, only to be awoken around 1 a.m. by a strange gargling and growling noise which was coming from outside the bank's window. Dunn grabbed his shotgun and slowly crept across the wooden floorboards towards the source of the noise. As he reached the window, a dazzling bright light blinded him, causing him to stagger backward. and Squinty's eyes. The strange light swept the room from left to right through the glass. As the light moved once more, Dunn was greeted by a terrifying face behind it. A menacing face peered through the window. Dunn watched as a long snout with sharp, razor-like teeth chattered in front of him. Two black, soulless eyes fixed their gaze upon him. Without a moment's hesitation, Dunn fired his shotgun at the monster. The glass of the window shattered and fell to the floor. Blinding now, the light stayed in place for a moment, as if to show that it had not been harmed, and then shot off into the night sky. The next morning, the authorities found what looked like footprints on the floor outside the window. These footprints were large in size, with three toes sticking out each end. It is believed that plaster casts were made of these footprints, but unfortunately have disappeared over time. The following evening, there would be another sighting, this time at the local hardware store again on Main Street. The proprietor, O.V. White, had been awoken by a strange, rasping sound coming from outside. After grabbing his firearm, White made his way outside. There, on top of a nearby telegraph pole, sat a dark figure. But before he could fire his weapon, this dark figure opened its wings and emitted an overpowering sulfur-like odour. White fell to the ground coughing from inhaling the horrific smell. Shopkeeper Sidney Gregg, after hearing the commotion, walked out into the street just in time to see the creature take flight. The two men watched as the creature disappeared into the night sky in the direction of an old coal mine. By morning, after hearing about the new encounter, the townspeople had had enough. They demanded that the mayor do something. Figuring that something strange may be happening at the old coal mine, the mayor ordered its director, Mr. Platt, to attend a meeting with the townspeople. At the meeting, after some time, Mr. Platt admitted that there had been some reports by miners about strange noises coming from old abandoned shafts located near the main site, but the miners' claims had been dismissed as nonsense. That evening, some armed men watched the entrance of the mine. They sat waiting to see if they could get a glimpse of the creature. They weren't disappointed. They reported that they had seen not one but two creatures emerge from the mine shaft and fly into the night sky. Word spread throughout the night, and a band of men set off to ambush the creatures once they arrived back to the mine shaft. The hours slowly went by. Just as dawn was breaking and the men were about to give up, the two creatures reappeared. As they were about to enter the mine, the men fired a wall of gunfire towards them, but the bullets seemed to have little or no effect on the two creatures. They seemed uninjured and only let out loud shrieks and emitted more noxious gas. They then quickly entered the mine shaft. The men wasted no time at all and quickly blasted the entrance of the mine so that no one could access it. The creatures were never seen or heard from again. Did they perish in the bowels of the mine, or find another way out? Or perhaps they are laying in wait for someone to let them stalk the night sky once again. The end. What do you think of that now?
Pterodactyl? Pterodactyl. Pterodactyl with the little nightlight on its head, just trying to do no harm and get around the place in the middle of the night. I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah, like very pterodactyl-y in the description of them seems to be very like that. There was a little drawing that they did. Well, not that they did, but like an artist's impression. And yeah, like looks very much like a pterodactyl with like a weird like light thing coming from its head. But yeah, I just thought it was really, really weird that they were like down in the coal mine and stuff, and that's where they originated from. So this encounter actually made it into like a lot of newspapers at the time, and this encounter is actually in like the town's like record.
Oh my god.
As having happened. What makes it even more strange and like probably a bit more credibility to it is like that there were respected people that, like, you know, like it was a doctor and like a well respected businessman, and I know like anyone can make up a lie and stuff, but they were like prominent people. They weren't like the town drunk or anything. Plus there was only like 400 and something people living in this, it's called a city, but it's like a village has feckin' more people in it. Yeah. And I went on Google Maps to see what it was like at the moment, and it's really small, like it's a really small place.
Yeah, Because you always have to think that if somebody's making it up, like, then what are their reasons for making it up? Like, so it's a really small place. I mean, unless the tourism board got together and was like, let's find a way to bring people into the city. Like, you know, it doesn't seem like, why would they be making it up that they've seen these terrifying things? Also makes me think of, like, how scary would it have been to live back in those days when there was, like, no electricity and you got around by lamplight. Like everywhere was so dark the whole time. Like, I would have been living on my nerves the whole time. I would have been like, somebody please accompanied me to the outside lavatory, thank you. Imagine going out to the outside loo that they had in those days and you'd be like, hello, anybody in here? Oh, it's just so terrifying that, like, everything is terrifying the whole time, which does make you think that sometimes things get legs and stories are made up or whatever. But there was an awful lot of witnesses to this one. Like, even when they went hunting for it, they found it, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. So apparently they did find it. And one of the other things is it's, like, really descriptive. So, like, it had, like, that weird light thing. It wasn't as if it was just like, oh, it was an odd bird that was in the sky, do you know, or like an owl. Like, there's no birds that I know of that can... has a torchlight attached to its head.
Yeah,
naturally.
It's just bringing its iPhone around with the torch on it just to see what it's up to. Like, yeah, because if it wasn't for the blinding light part, you'd be like, okay, it's some kind of large bird that maybe they hadn't seen before, and maybe some bird that hadn't been identified, or maybe hasn't still been identified, like some really big bird of prey or something like that. But another really funny thing is the noxious gas. Like, it just seems to fart in people's faces. Maybe it's just nervous gas. Like, maybe when it just gets rattled, it's just like, burp. Oh, sorry, lads. I actually didn't mean to. I'm very anxious bird. I'm just a very anxious bird.
I've got IBS. And I have poor eyesight. I just need to have this torch. But you know what you were saying, like, oh, maybe they just did it to attract it to the town.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't work, because then in the 1910 census, they had actually lost 5% of their population.
Oh, yeah.
People had left, and it was after decreasing, you see. So that didn't really work for them. Now, I have to say, it has since had, like, a resurgence, this story has. And now the town has actually started, I think, last year was the first year that they decided to make a little festival about this. So it's not something that they had been doing for years, you know. The story originated before the festival, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow. Anybody from Iowa out there, shout us and let us know if you have seen a depiction of this pterodactyl with a flash lamp. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely let us know. But I wonder, is it like a cousin of the Mothman or something, you know? It's kind of in that same bracket.
It sounded very Mothman-ish until the bright light thing. The Mothman don't usually have they have, like, big scary eyes, but they don't usually come holding a flash, like a torch, do they? Not usually.
Not that I know of. This was reported to be, like, 9 foot tall. With black eyes and stuff. So I think the Mothman has kind of more red eyes. So maybe it's a descendant.
Maybe they're cousins.
Like a cousin or something. A subspecies, possibly. The weird thing is, though, is like that it came from the mine. And it's coming back to those stories of, like, something living underneath us. I always seem to be attracted to those stories.
Yes.
Like, as if something's living underground.
Yes.
And it's just, like, waiting to come up. So at the time, they kind of thought that this was, like, you know, demons, which of course you would.
Absolutely.
Even today.
Absolutely.
If you are very, very religious, you'd be thinking it was a fucking demon, especially that you can't kill it, and the sulfur smell and the whole lot. And they were like that it was this ungodly creature, and it was absolutely vile and blah blah blah. And then the mine, I think some guy went wrote a book about this recent enough, and apparently the mine is, like, kind of like after falling in now, it's not really, there's not much left there. Like, there was a mine there, but it's just like you can't, you know, remove the entrance to go in, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And they're kind of like, well, who knows what
maybe
the shafts are underneath, you know.
Maybe better for all mankind that they're not able to get out. Hopefully they've just been locked in there forever and we shall never hear of them again. Maybe they were just trying to forewarn us of the whole climate emergency. They were like, stop burning fossil fuels, lads. Oh no, oh shit, it's too late.
Very, very, very weird. So yeah, if you've ever had an encounter with the Van Meter monster entity, whatever you want to call it, demon, pterodactyl, please, please do let us know. We'd love to know. And if there is a story that you'd like us to investigate, also let us know, because we are open to hearing about all your little weird local monsters or weird paranormal encounters that the townsfolk have had.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Let us know. But I think it's that time of the show, Annie, where we get on to the live line.
Ah!
And we're just going to crank up the big wheel there now and turn on. The live line is now open. This is the part of the show where you can send in your very own paranormal experiences, or maybe you just have a little grievance that you want to air, you have something that you want to put into the Agony Aunt section. Whatever you have in your little mind that you want to tell us about, you can tell us about. So we've had a grievance in this week, and I think it's something that we can all relate to. I'm just going to play for you guys there now.
Hi guys, I have to record this quietly because I'm sitting in the school car park. What is it with the dickheads in the car next to me that decide they're going to blast their shitty music at full volume while I'm sitting peacefully trying to have a cup of coffee before picking my kids up from school? Shut the fuck up. No one wants to hear your fucking Ed Sheeran fucking disco remix. Just shut up. I want peace and quiet. I have enough noise. I have 3 kids. Like, give my head a break. Shut the fuck up. Turn your volume down. End of rant. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, I'm so feeling for you.
I don't know if they want their name put into it, but thanks so much, Lisa, for sending that in.
This is a very universal problem, and no matter what country you're from, it fucking happens. There is a dick that feels like they have to show you their musical taste somehow by blasting it out of the car. Like, and I have to say that it's often middle-aged men that are the main culprits of this.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, definitely. Well, middle-aged men are younger guys, but I suppose it could be anybody. But yeah, it is very annoying. Very annoying. Especially if it's some shitty fucking song. Like, especially if it's some shitty, like, I don't even know, I'm not going to fucking, like, whatever. Everybody has their own taste in music, but, you know, if it's a particularly shitty song and it's been played at level 55 in your car while you're stationary, you need to reassess your life.
You really do. And you see, that's the thing. It, like, it doesn't really matter. You see, the thing is, it doesn't really matter if you think it's cool music. Like the person in the car next to you has their own radio in the car with a variety of stations on it, and now they can also plug their iPhone into it, you know? So you don't need to be playing music for other people. Like, put the fucking volume down and shut the fuck up. Another side note to this is people who speak on, have their conversations on the loudspeaker in their car the whole time, and you can actually hear them going up and down the street, like talking to their mother or their brother or their sister or having an argument with their husband. It's like, does the volume have to be that loud? Like, does the whole street have to hear what you're having for dinner? It's like super annoying. It's noise pollution.
It's just very irritating. But I know it's not paranormal in nature, but still, we'll still air it. Well, we did get another person in. I don't know if it was on our Patreon that you talked about the dog poo poo, or was that the last episode? I think it was actually the last episode.
I think it was the last episode, yeah. Yeah, we had a very poo poo week, yes.
We did. We got somebody in just to talk about their dog poopy incidents there now. So turn off if you don't want to hear about this, guys. Worse than having dog poop on your shoe and walking into the house, using a baggie to pick up the poop, and what happens? What happens? As your hands grasp around the poop noodle, the bag breaks and you are four blocks from home and you have shite on your hand and under your fingernails. And why? Because said poop noodle wasn't as solid as it appeared to be. Now, all you can do is wipe it on the grass nearby and hope and pray to baby Jesus that you can get home quickly. Praying also that by the time you go home, the smell hasn't permanently set itself into your skin and under your fingernails after you've scrubbed your hands until they're raw. Now, that is particularly horrendous.
It is horrendous. And if anyone has ever gotten poop on their hands before, like, you will, it is so hard to get that smell off your hand. Like, you actually have to get a cheese grater and grate off parts of your fingers to actually get that smell off. I had an incident on the beach there the other day. I had my dog. I had it was. It sounds like I had a poop incident myself. But I brought my.
Like, you had to go to the toilet on the beach and you didn't have any toilet paper and you wiped your ass with your hand. But go on.
No, that was last year. No, I had my own little dog, Watty, and he makes like perfectly parcel tiny poops. But I brought my sister's dog with me, and he's in Newfoundland. And he is huge. And I was like, please don't go for a poop when we're on the beach. Please don't. Because I had a new bag of doggy poop bags and I'd never used them before. And they were like, they're from Tesco. Like, that's not to say that Tesco stuff wouldn't be good, but I've just never used them before. And he went for a poop on the beach and my friend and Dave were there and they were like, oh no, like, no, he's going. And he is a huge dog and it is huge, and they were like, we can't look. And I was like, oh, quick, like, triple bag. I was so afraid that I was gonna get this stuff on my hands, and I had to use two hands to pick it up. It was like walking down the beach with like a carrier bag full of shopping, like, before I found a bin to throw it in. It was fucking huge. And then he puked in the car on the way home in the back of Dave's car. And it was like a river of puke. So get small dogs.
So in a way, it's paranormal. That is paranormal. It's not normal. So it is paranormal. So just to bring it back to our topic and what our podcast is, instead of it being a dog pooping show. But that's the end. We don't want any more poop stories for another 5 years, please, as well. Just official notice. I can't wait to see the consumption charge of this episode.
Oh,
it'll just be
God.
Like a massive drop off around like the 29 minute mark.
And join me next week when I will have another fascinating paranormal poop tale. Thank you.
But that's it for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. And if you want to know more about us, you can find out everything there is to know about us in the show notes. You can find our little Facebook group or Patreon or Instagram. All the links are below. It's nice and handy and easy for you guys. But thanks so much for listening. Do you want to say any?
Thanks so much for listening. And also on the show notes, there is our new Viber Signal WhatsApp number. WhatsApp is the thing. Send us in a little.
Oh, yeah.
Send
us in a little. The Liveline number.
The Liveline number on Will's drug dealer burner phone. You can send us in a little voice note like the lads did there. Thanks so much, lads. It's so gas. But no more poop stories. We actually, our ratings are low enough as it is. Thank you.
And that number is +353 89617231. That's +353 89617231. And yeah, send us voice notes, messages on Viber, Signal, WhatsApp, yeah, whatever you want. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, join us next Wednesday where Annie will have another paranormal tale for you guys. Until then, keep safe. We love you. Put on a cardigan in the evening times and don't go out at 1 o'clock in the morning because you might meet the van meter monster demon entity thing. All right, just stay in bed. Just go to bed around 8 o'clock and get up at like 9. Just don't entertain the errors other than that. Lots of love and kisses. The van meter monster. I mean, Will. Join us next week for another mystery.
Of the unexplained. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.